I want to continue our series that we started last week. Be a little different today. Next week, I'll preview for you right now. The shadow that we're going to step out of next week is the family shadow that we all carry. Today, it's all about circumstances, because circumstances can cast a shadow on you that makes it hard for you to step out of. A few years ago, I preached a sermon on the two-letter word, it, and some of the various scriptures that that little word is used in. There's another two-letter word in the English language that has more meaning and meanings than any other two-letter word, including the word it. It's listed in the dictionary as being used as an adverb, a preposition, an adjective, a noun, and a verb, and it's only two letters. It's used in the Bible over and over. As a matter of fact, 2,280 times. Yes, I counted. And the word is up, Genesis 2:6. But there went up a mist from the earth, Genesis 31. Then Jacob rose up, Exodus 24. Then Moses went up, Matthew 14, Jesus looked up, Revelation 20, the sea gave up the dead. Ephesians 2:6, God raised us up with Christ Jesus and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. Movie was made entitled with this two-letter word, the word up. The only other movie made with a two-letter word I can think of was the Stephen King thriller, that two-letter word we covered before. I put that clown on there for Erica Willoughby just to freak her out for a moment. Now, I appreciate this clip a little better, the one of the movie Up. How many of you have seen the movie Up? That's awesome. Okay, that's almost everybody. It's the coolest small word. It is. I mean, every one of us here got up this morning, unless you stayed up all night. I was in a meeting the other day and a topic came up. We should all speak up when a leader comes up for election. I may have Jamie or Priscilla type up a report for me. You could call up your friends, but sometimes you may want to hang up on them. I like to tidy up a room after someone has messed it up. Most of us will lock up our house. Charlie loves to fix up old cars. Some of us stir up trouble when we're standing in line or lining up for tickets. We may even pick up his shoes while getting dressed up for church. I get confused easily. The weather. Somebody will tell me it's clouding up while somebody else will tell me it's clearing up. How come a drain must be opened up when it's stopped up? The whole thing gets me mixed up. If you're up to it, you should make a list of the many ways up is used, although it will take up a lot of your time. I think I should wrap this up, because if I don't, my time will be up, and then Roger will think I wish he would just shut up. Or maybe I'm going to sit up and study up on the word up. And then I'll work up an appetite, and I'll go get some Asian Pearl and a 7-Up, and it's just a matter of time before I throw up. I want to go to a familiar and awesome story that I love to preach. And periodically, every 3 or 4 years, I break this one out. Not the same sermon, but same scripture, because it's awesome if you're up for it. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. There's 10 verses, but it flows. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, 3 in the afternoon. A man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man, him by the right hand, he helped to give you, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet, began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Man, oh man, there are several ways to unpack this story. I could focus on the main characters, Peter and John, and how John never says or does anything. Just Peter the whole time, which is interesting to me. Or we could talk about the lame man and his experience, but to get to the core of the story, we have to get technicalities out of the way first. Peter and John are going to the temple to pray. Temple gate called Beautiful. There are 3 Jewish times of prayer, and they're non-negotiable. There's the first, second, and third, or the third, sixth, and ninth hour of prayer. The third hour is 9 o'clock in the morning. The sixth hour is 12 noon, and the ninth hour is 3 in the afternoon. This is important. These friends didn't bring the beggar at 9 o'clock in the morning, and they didn't bring him at 12. They brought him at 3 because that's where the high volume will occur of people, and that's where the beggar can hope to make his best case for getting money. Now, there's always a great debate when it comes to helping someone begging, all I have to do in a Wednesday night class is say, y'all seen that guy that stands on the 3rd Street exit and holds a sign and wants money? How many of y'all give him money? And you'll have some who absolutely will give him money every time. You'll have some who will immediately say, it's all a sham, and why would I throw my money away? And he's driving better cars than I am, and he'll break out his cell phone as soon as I leave. And then you'll have some like me who try to be creative and offer him a bag of food or some kind of self-help items or something like that, or say, hey, I know where there's a good job. It runs the gamut. People's responses to homeless and beggars. But you know what? Runs the gamut with them, too, as to how creative they can be. Some of them hold up signs, and some of them, like the ones going into Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati, try to get creative to get you to give them money. Here's a few of the creative ones right here. Family kidnapped by ninjas need $4 for karate lessons. That's creative. Spread some cheese on this broke cracker. How about that? Spend all my money on cardboard and a marker. I like this one. We'll eat for food. Believe that. Instead of hungry, hungry hippo, hungry, hungry hobo. Jay-Z and Beyonce going to have a baby, and I need money for a gift. Desperate need of a hair weave. Please help. Whatever it takes to get your attention is the goal. And as Peter and John are coming in, he comes right out and asks them for money. And that leads to the first up we find in this story. Look up. Acts 3:4. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. You ever miss something important because you were looking the wrong way? It must just be my bad luck. Because all the time someone say, did you see that? And I'm oblivious to what it was they saw. There's a lot of look-ups in the Bible. Open your eyes and look at the fields. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Look at my hands and my feet, Jesus said. Look after the widows and the orphans. This is pure religion. And here, this man, the first thing he's asked to do is to look up because he's been conditioned to look down. Now, if these friends carried him there at 3 p.m. and dropped him outside the temple gate, could they not have carried him on in? Of course they could have. I mean, if they had the strength to get him there, they could have took him a few more feet and got him inside the door. But they didn't for a reason. See, his shame is not just the fact that he's crippled. His shame is also brought on because he's not allowed in. He's not welcome. There's this belief that if you're in that condition, then you did something terrible and God Almighty is punishing you for it. That belief comes from a flawed view of who God is and how he deals with his children. I mean, think about this. Could God give you a disease every time you screw up? Of course he could. But does he? No, because some of you have had some healthy days that you wouldn't have had. Right? I can figure this out. Evie gets a bad cold, and I think, well, she must have lied to Luzerne. Right? Stacy spends 2 days in the hospital. I'm thinking, okay, she stole some money at work. Man, aren't you glad that God doesn't operate that? If God treated us that way in accordance to our daily sin and shortcomings, there wouldn't be a one of us who would have one healthy day the rest of our lives. I can see why it's hard for this man to look up. He has that shame. Can't you hear people walking in the temple saying, let him get a job? Well, it might be true, and you might be right most of the time. Maybe that guy on 3rd Street's there because he's lazy. I don't know. Maybe he's addicted. Maybe his motives are impure. But I'm telling you what, in some cases, it's just the hand they were dealt. And for this first century beggar, he didn't sign up for this. This is not a result of him quitting a good job and not trying. He's dealt with this all of his life. And if your heart can't go out to someone in that situation, you are as close to the Tin Man on Wizard of Oz as anyone could ever be. The truth is, it's harder for some people to look up than it is for others. The Bible teaches us that. And it's an important point for me because this has never been my situation. Every time I've looked up to find acceptance and love and somebody caring about me or doing something good for me. Every time. Not this guy. Harder for some people to look up than it is for others. But he did. Verse 5, the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them, which leads to our next up. Not only look up, listen up. Verse 6. Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. All right, Bible trivia. The only one in the first service to get this right was Charlie. And I'm glad he did. Made me feel good. So, Jesus was tempted in the desert 3 times by the devil. He responded each time to the devil, but each time he responded with the same 3 words before he said whatever else he said in those temptations. Anybody? Shout it out if you know it. Who said that? That's it, brother. Say it again loud. It is written. Jesus didn't open up the Bible and show Satan a verse. He responded out of what was already in his heart. I'm telling you right now, you're going to get in situations where, honestly, if you could recall what God had said and you had listened up, it could seriously bail you out. I have to run this idea by the elders. So I'm not sure they're going to go for it. So that's why I'm unveiling it in a sermon. It's harder for them to say no. So see what you think. Because if y'all buy into this, then I don't know how they can say no. For each verse of the Bible people in this church memorize, we're going to give you $10,000. Who's in? Let me see your hands. Okay, that's what I thought. That will give you brain cells you never knew you had before. I'm going to give you 50 grand real quick, the shortest verses in the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 5, pray continually. There's 10,000. Luke 6, 31, do to others as you'd have them do to you. 20, Psalm 56, 3, when I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. 30 grand. Philippians 2:14, do everything without grumbling or complaining. 40,000, and the best verse to gain $10,000 with, John 11:35. Jesus wept. There you go. Now, I've done this through the years, and I challenge myself. I do. I don't mind telling you that I messed up or I didn't do something right or I wasn't all that when it came to that situation. I don't mind that at all. I took some online Bible quizzes to prepare for this sermon. And they're all set up the same way. Are these things in the Bible or not? So I did really, really well. And then I got to the one I want to give you today, and I missed 1 out of 10, which makes me question the validity of the quiz. But Karen came in when I was working on this with Jamie and Priscilla, and Karen got 10 out of 10, which makes me question the validity of the quiz. Jamie and Priscilla, your church office people, need to be in their Bible more. That's all I'll say about them. Now, I'm going to give you all the opportunity, Bible or not. And don't try to not participate because God is watching and he will punish you if you don't participate. He told me. It's written in my Bible in the right side, way in the back. Bible or not, number one. The end of a matter is better than its beginning, and patience is better than pride. Bible or not, who says Bible? Hands. You have to participate. Who says not? Some of you did not participate. Let's start this again. Who says Bible? Hands. Who says not? You nots should not have participated. That's Ecclesiastes 7:8. You can keep your own score. Randy, you and Rox and Chip, you're all down when I see that. Number two, and though in all lands love is now mingled with grief, it still grows perhaps the greater. Bible or not? Who says Bible? Who says not? Some of you are not participating. You two in the front row right here. Shauna, you two need to participate. God was watching. I know you don't know. That's the point. Bible or not? Bible or not? Bible? Not. Okay, you should not have participated. No, I'm just kidding. That is not. That is from the Fellowship of the Rings. Number three, we can stand affliction better than we can prosperity, for in prosperity we forget God. Bible or not? Who says Bible? Who says not? That is not. That's Dwight Moody. Number four, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Bible or not? Who says Bible? Thank you, church. Thank you. I'm not going to ask for the knots because I don't want to embarrass anybody. Number five, God moves in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. Bible or not? Who says Bible? Who says not? Just a few of you got that right. That's the English poet William Cooper. That's not in the Bible. Number six, The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it's coming from or where it's going, Bible or not. Who says Bible? Who says not? That's in John 3:8. Yes, it's in the Bible. Number 7. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Bible or not? Who says Bible? Who says not? That's Mark 3:25. Yes, it's in the Bible. And not only is it in the Bible, Jesus said it himself, shame on you. Number 8. Heed the word of the Lord, or the dead will rise again, possessed by demons, and you who are unclean shall be damned forever and ever in eternal fire. Bible or not? Who says Bible? Okay, several hands. Who says not? Okay, that's from Night of the Living Dead. That's not in the Bible. So. Number 9, cleanliness is next to godliness. Bible or not? Who says Bible? I don't know what it means when somebody goes like this. Who says not? Okay, that's not. That was John Wesley. Number 10, a quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping on a rainy day. Do we not have that? Oh, we lost her power, didn't we? That's going to lose some effect. Listen to me now. A quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping on a rainy day, Bible or not. Who says Bible? Who says not? That's in the Bible, Proverbs 27, verse 15. And I've known that one all my life because it's my dad's favorite verse. Now, I love this story we're studying because at its simplest point, check this out. Here's how my mind works. If this man had not listened up, if when Peter said, we don't have any money for you, the guy would have said, I don't want to hear anything else then. I don't want your preaching. I don't want your advice. You don't have any money for me? Don't say another word. Wouldn't he still be laying there? He would have never got up, right? If he would have said, when Peter said, we don't have any money, but the guy, whoa, no more then. No money, no help, I don't need you. Had he not listened up, he'd have still been a lame man. Man, oh man. I love what the Bible does for me. These words transcend time. The word of God endures forever, and if you will listen up, it will change your life. You want a healthy self-image, you take God at his word, Genesis 1:27. You want to stay away from sexually transmitted diseases, you take God at his word, Proverbs 5:15. You want to live a life of balance, you take God at his word, Philippians 4:7. You want to be respected in business and have a healthy reputation, you take God at his word, Proverbs 22. You want to let go of your worry and anxiety, you take God at his word, Matthew 6. You want to know that you're going to heaven, you take God at his word, John 5:13. And for a lame man lying at the gate called Beautiful at 3 p.m, Peter said, we don't have any money, but listen up. Listen up now. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. Look up, listen up, and that leads to the third up in this story. Get up. Acts 3:7. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And immediately the man's feet and ankles became strong. This man has never walked before. And by the time this afternoon is over, he's bouncing around like Tigger on Winnie the Pooh. You cannot keep him down. Acts 3:8, he jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. I can't dance, so I can't demonstrate for you what this might have looked like. I can picture in my mind. And so I thought, well, I'll have Charlie come up and dance, just impromptu. And then I thought, no, he'll hurt himself, and I don't want to do that. So I found a couple of videos, a preacher who got the spirit in his feet, and then an usher at a ball game who the crowd kind of urged on, and we'll go back and forth if this will play. Let's check this out. Cut loose like that some Sunday. Everybody dance now in the Holy I don't know if you remember that little camp chorus, but everybody stand up. I mean, you got to be inspired now just to cut a rug, right? Well, I'm not going to have you do that, but you got to help me. If you know it, sing with me, but if you don't know the words, then you can at least help me with the rhythm. It goes like this. Bump, 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 bump. Come on now. Not real coordinated, are we? Peter and John went to pray. They met a lame man on the way. He stuck out his palm and asked for an alms. And this is what Peter did say. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. They went walking and leaping and praising God. Come on now, walking and leaping and praising God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Nice. Be seated now. Put an extra 20 in the plate for the aerobics class. Poor old Charlie back there in the early service was like. And it goes back to his childhood. When he was in the third grade, his teacher taught the class this special clap. And Charlie could never get it. And so she knew he needed extra incentive. So she told him, if you ever get it right, I'm getting you an ice cream cone. And one day he got it. And she handed him an ice cream cone. And he went. Some people just can't get it. I don't know how awkward it was for this guy. He had never walked before. Now he's walking and leaping and praising God. This beggar who couldn't walk. That's how he was known, but not anymore. Now he's the man who never stops dancing. First ministry I took happened in 1979. I just graduated from high school, and I became the preacher at this church right here. Manville Christian Church, just south of Madison. East of Madison. Behind that shelter to the right is a beautiful creek, pretty deep, runs for a couple of miles, and we baptized in that creek. My first Sunday, I preached a sermon at Manville. A guy walked the aisle to be baptized. He was in his 40s. His name was Sam Hamilton. We called him Corky. I never really knew where the nickname came from, but Corky Hamilton, and he was a good guy, and he wanted to be baptized. My first sermon, I'm still just fresh out of high school and kind of new to all this. We walked to the creek. The whole church follows us, and I said, Corky, do you have anything you want to say before you're baptized? And immediately, here's what he said. I wrote it down. Had it all these years. He said, I'm a liar, I'm a thief, I'm a cheat, and I'm ashamed. And nobody knew what to say. Not used to that kind of confession at church. I didn't know what to say. So the only thing I could come up with was the one thing I should have come up with, and it's not the last time the Holy Spirit saved my rear end. I said, Corky, that's your you were, not your you are. Now we're not going to call you those things. We're going to call you a forgiven child of God. I tell you, every time I read or reread passages in the Bible, something hits me different. It makes me wonder if I was paying attention all these years. And I found something in this story that just like, seriously, how did I miss that? I'm going to read it to you, and you tell me if anything jumps out at you. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running. Seems like a straightforward verse. Anything in there get your attention? Why is he holding on? He's already been jumping and leaping and praising. Why is he holding on? Well, if the man can leap, why is he still leaning? What's your answer to that? Here's what the Lord laid on my heart this week. His mentality has not yet caught up with his reality. His feet were stronger than his mind. He's leaping in one verse and he's leaning in the next. You ever feel like you're not saved, or you wonder if you're going to heaven, or your shame and your guilt is too much, even though God Almighty tells you it's been wiped and washed away? Tell you what, I'm leaping one day and I'm leaning the next. I leap when I come here and get to preach to you all, and we're all together and we fellowship and sing and share with each other. But I tell you what, Friday night, two or three days ago at midnight when I'm on the phone with somebody I love, I wasn't leaping then. I was leaning. My whole life is shaped by leaping one day and leaning the next. And I doubt that it will ever change. And that's your life too. This man had to wait for his mind to catch up with his feet. Pretty cool. Had to wait for his attitude to catch up with his actual. And now instead of being down and lying in his own shadow, he's up because he looked up, he listened up, and he got up. Let me close by telling you about my mamaw, wonderful, wonderful lady. This is the one that played the piano and the banjo and the guitar and the mandolin, fiddle, picked up anything, never studied music, sang alto and soprano, all the parts. Had an old upright piano that her and I would play. Four hands are better than two. And she was just awesome. And she died when I was in junior high. But the only flaw she ever had was coconuts. She loved coconuts. I can't stand coconuts. And she kept the whole coconuts in her house. And I remember that because my cousin Merle, who was a know-it-all, him and I would visit with my mamaw, and Merle would always say something as if we didn't know what he was saying. Yeah, got anybody in your family like that just wanting to spout off some fact as if you didn't know it already? And I can still remember, we're in the kitchen, and he says in front of all the cousins, well, the onion is the only food that makes you cry. So I hit him in the face with a coconut. And then I said, it appears a coconut will make you cry too. But I remember her love for coconuts, her love for music. She got cancer when I was in junior high. And I'd go into her room, her house in Pleasant, Indiana, and sing with her. And she would quote her favorite Bible verse over and over. When she died, I didn't want to go to the funeral home. She was my best friend, and my mom and dad made me. In my small mind, I thought, if I don't see it, that's like it's not really happening. Kind of dumb, but it's what I thought. And they marched me down front to her casket and made me look, and I'm glad they did. Her casket was lined with her favorite verse. And it's from Colossians, the third chapter, and here's what it says. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what's going on around Christ. That's where the action is. I didn't know what that verse meant, but I do now. I do, because I look down and I see cancer and I see heartache and I see bodies that are falling apart, but I look up and I see health and bodies transformed into the likeness of Jesus, never to grow sick or old again. I look down and I see divorce and heartache and bitterness and families ripped apart and struggling. I look up and I see reunions and togetherness forever. I look down and I see the body of my mamaw laying in a casket, but I look up and I see my mamaw. It's a choice. It is always a choice. And here's another choice. You can be down in the shadows for the rest of your life if you choose. Or you can be up with the sun. And I have made my choice. My choice is up, 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 and away. Up. Amen.